Sometimes our problems seem insurmountable. Yet, as we learn strategies and gain skills, the solutions are simple. Now, I did not say easy, yet they can be simple. Today's guest, Chris Pappias, shares how and what she learned after a life-changing car crash while working as a police officer. She had put her dreams on the shelf years earlier and eventually learned how to take them back down. Get a cup of coffee or a cold beverage, kick up your feet if you can, and be prepared to be transported away and inspired. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language, or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy, stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands, and that is the language of play. Hello, everyone. It is time to address something that is on many of your minds, and that is summer is coming and you don't know how to practice what the speech therapist is doing. Yet, you want to support your child and make sure they don't regress too much. So what do you do? Well, one thing you can do is help your child to listen better. Yep, that's right. The Language of Play has an upcoming webinar where we will explore how essential listening skills are for speech and language development. From hearing and recognizing speech sounds to expanding vocabulary, you won't want to miss out on this opportunity to learn valuable techniques. Oh, and by the way, this helps kids with obedience, too. You will find the link to the interactive webinar in the show notes. I look forward to seeing you there. All right, let's listen to this interview with Chris Pappias. Today, we have Chris Pappias with us. She is an empowerment coach, speaker, and best-selling author. In 2003, Chris was living with what many would call a good life. She was in her 10th year of a career as a police officer, and as far as anyone was concerned, she was successful. Then a serious car crash woke her up to the reality that while she had all the trappings of success, the success was empty. Her life had no meaning, and she was no longer who she was or what she wanted in life. In that moment, she promised herself things would change and that she would do whatever it took to create a life for herself that had meaning and purpose. It took Chris several years of searching to discover the secret to creating the life she longed for and to create a life that is interesting, purpose-driven, and fun. As an empowerment coach, Chris's mission is to share what she has learned with successful women professionals and entrepreneurs who are tired of feeling stuck in life and uncertain as they look to the future and who are ready to take action now to create a life they love. Chris, thank you so much for being here on The Language of Play. I heard a little bit of your story in shared stage that we had, and I thought, man, Chris, you need to come on my podcast and talk to people about your story, because your story is really dramatic. And I know that when we raise children, and the listeners here are raising children, life can be overwhelming. We can feel stuck, kind of like you had in your bio. Even though we know that our children are growing and changing, we also know that we too can feel discouraged, like the days are long. And so I thought that your message would be inspiring and encouraging. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Well, Dinalyn, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share what I've learned about life and how to manage life with others who may be struggling, because sometimes the problems seem so insurmountable. And what I've discovered is so often the solution can be very simple. So thank you for the opportunity to sharing my message.
Yes, problems can seem insurmountable, but the solutions are quite simple, is what you said. I love that. Can you share a little bit about your story right off the get-go to help us shine a light on that?
Okay, so in a nutshell, I became a police officer. I wanted to make a difference in the world. I had had my own traumas, and I wanted to be the one to stand up to the bad guys. So I became a police officer. And 10 years into my career, I found myself quite disillusioned and burnt out. At the time, I didn't understand what the problem was. There was a problem and things were not working. So in 2003, I had this car crash at work, and it was a pretty dramatic crash. And actually, as my car remained in motion, I actually realized that I might not survive this. And in that moment, I felt a great deal of sadness, because I saw my life in that flash and I realized how many of my dreams had been left on a dark shelf to collect dust. And I no longer knew who I was or what I wanted. And I vowed that things were going to change. Obviously, I survived the crash. I had injuries and it would be 15 months before I could go back to work. And I clearly remember the day I went back to work, went into the locker room, I put on my uniform, I put on my gear, I looked in the mirror. And my heart sank, because the person staring back at me was the same person who had been in that car crash. And in fact, nothing had changed. And in that moment, I recommitted to making the changes. So at first I thought what I really want is to have a lot of fun. And I'm an adventurous person. So the dreams I took down off the shelf and realized, the first one was hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. It had been a dream that I'd had for 25 years. And every time I thought about it, I would dismiss it and go, who do you think you are to have such an extraordinary experience, right? That's not going to happen. Well, I decided I was going to make it happen. And in the fall of 2006, I went to the top of the mountain. And as I stood there, I felt so powerful and so strong. And the world seemed to have nothing but possibilities. Like, I was so alive, even though it had been really hard work to get to the top. So I came home, got up to the bottom mountain, came home. My heart sank again, because I was back to where it started. Like, that feeling of nothingness was back. Oh, okay, well, I need to have adventure in my life. So I walked on to the other adventure. And I ended up going to places like Mongolia. I trekked across the Himalayas of Bhutan. I dove with whale sharks in the Pacific. I did all these things that were fantastic. And as I did them, I felt alive and life was great. And every time I came home, I was back in the life I didn't want. And I realized what I really needed to do was bring those feelings of aliveness and engagement and fun and feeling powerful. I needed to bring those feelings into my everyday life. And that's the journey I embarked on. How do I do that? How do I live everyday life like that woman who was up on the mountain or deep down in the ocean? That was my journey.
That's huge.
Still took a long time.
I bet it did take a long time.
It did, because I had to look within. I realized that geographic cures are a temporary distraction. My adventures were fantastic. And I realized that I'm privileged to have been able to do that. And they were not a solution to the problem. That my life had no meaning. I didn't know who I was. And I didn't like who I was when I was at home. And I wanted to bring those feelings into my everyday life.
Yeah, that I think speaks to so many of us, because we all, I think, get into that phase at some point in our life. Sometimes even when our children are small, we feel like the day-to-day can be so much the same, that what we have and what we stare at is the same laundry, the same dishes, the same diapers, and it's a perpetuating cycle, and you don't want to be there and you want to go on an adventure. And how did you bring those feelings then back home with you? Because I think that for parents, and I think back to when mine were small too, I wanted those feelings back home with me to be able to propel me and create more joy in my mundane parts of my day to day.
Well, first of all, I had to take ownership of my life. I had to stop blaming others. I had to take ownership. I had to see what I was bringing to the table. I had to look within. At the end of my journey, the process ended up with three steps. One is self-mastery. One is a vision of the life you want. And the third piece is to take real action. So what do I mean about self-mastery? Self-mastery means knowing yourself so well, your good sides, the not so good sides, your strengths, your weaknesses, embracing all of that to the point where you can choose how you think, feel, and act at any given moment in time.
That's no small task either, especially when we're faced with what we don't like about ourselves.
Oh, yes. So I will give you a quick example. And you and I just shared that at the very beginning here before we got on air, as last week, something happened that was such a trigger. I was so angry. And in that moment, I remembered that when I'm angry, I can't problem solve. It's not pot. I had to diffuse the anger to actually look at the cause, look at the problem. I implemented a strategy that I know, skills that I have learned, so that within 5 to 10 minutes, the emotional arousal was completely dissipated.
That's amazing.
Truly, I was calm again, and I was able to do some critical thinking, which means, what is the problem and how do I solve the problem? And lo and behold, the universe opened up and a solution presented itself. Now, I wouldn't have been open to that when I was caught up in the emotions. And I think the same thing applies when you are facing a challenge in that moment with your child and the emotions take over. Humans are absolutely emotion driven. Can't get away from that. We have an emotion and we act to that emotion. We're not reacting to what is happening.
We like to think we are.
Yes, we do. And we are reacting in a way that is so ingrained and emotion driven. It's the emotion that's driving the bus. It's not what we are seeing in front of us or what we are experiencing. We are reacting to the emotions that are triggered by our expectations and how we think we should be, how the world should be. All of this is learned stuff. It's stuff that starts getting laid down in our brains from the moment we take our first breath. And in order to pivot and change, get off that track, that automatic track, we need to shine light on what it is that we believe, what is it that's really important to us, what is it that we want to achieve. And when we're clear on that, when we neutralize the emotions and we can get clear again on what it is that I want to accomplish here, what do I want out of whatever, that's when you can start implementing a plan to get what you want. Whether it is to get your child to do what you want them to do, whether it's to get my client to do what I think they, you know, would serve them better, someone I work for, it doesn't matter, the cashier at the store. We have more control than we actually think.
So what I'm hearing is this emotional mastery is the foundational first piece of what it is you teach. Is that right?
I think emotional mastery, I don't think it's a linear. It's not a linear progression, because I can ask someone, what is it you want here? And they can actually recite what they think they should want. But then I challenge that and it's, why do you want that? And then we get back to what the root cause is. What is really at play here? And when you know what it is, am I trying to meet somebody, stand up to somebody's expectations, or is it really what my heart wants?
So are you talking about like the internal voices that so often happen within us that drive us to react and to get triggered and all those programs that we have from early childhood, and then that subconscious teaching that we receive from our mom and dad? Like, we grew up and think, I'm not going to parent in this regard and I am going to parent in that regard, but it doesn't always happen that way because there's other things underneath that just drive us. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. It's like, I use my computer. As long as Word types the letters that I want, I don't care about what the programs running behind it are doing, right? The programs are actually driving the outcome. And it's the same thing with our brains, is that there are unconscious programs at play.
That makes
and
a lot of sense.
All we know is how we feel. All we know is how we feel. And if we don't feel good, we want to get rid of that feeling.
I mean, so often, especially I think for me anyway, the younger I've been, the more I blame others for those feelings that I have on the inside. And as I've gotten older and done more of this work, I've realized, oh, I'm in charge of my feelings. But I think that when my kids were real small, I had no idea of these concepts and how true they are.
What we have to do is find a scratch for the itch. And when we find a scratch, we realize, oh, wait a minute, it's got to do with how my brain works. My family had issues, and I took on baggage from my parents. They weren't bad people. They were simply teaching me and reacting to me in the ways that they were taught. And they never were able to say, hey, wait a minute, I have a choice. Nobody ever showed them that they had a choice. Right. I am very lucky that I live in a world where I can open myself up to other perspectives and realize, wait a minute, I do have a choice. I don't have to repeat what I experienced. It's not a blame game. It's not a judgment game. In fact, learning what I have made peace with people in my life, from my family, who have hurt me, who have hurt me physically, emotionally, all that stuff. It allows for forgiveness. That's what I believe.
And that's so beautiful, so necessary, so needed,
yes.
So huge. I think that you talked a lot about self-mastery. And it, for me, I think that it's really foundational for people to understand. And I know that in parenting, it is a foundational piece of when we can do better for mm-hmm. ourselves and for our children. And we can raise our children to be able to have this understanding of themselves from very early on. You also mentioned vision and taking real action. Can you briefly tell us what those are?
So the way I work with a client is we get to the fundamentals. What are your real values? And what is your purpose in life? What is the impact you want to have on the world? What do you want people to say about you at your funeral? I mean, honestly, that's what it boils down to. And then we look at all their aspects of life. And I ask them, what would your career look like if it were in alignment with your values and your purpose? What did your relationships look like when they are in alignment with your values and your purpose? And what does your relationship with yourself look like when it's in alignment with your values and purpose? To me, the core of everything is values and purpose. And as long as you honor those in any instance, whether it's whether you're choosing color paint for your walls, to dealing with your children, to choosing your car, if you honor those values and purpose, then you are on solid ground. No one can shake you. As long as you're trying to meet the expectations of others, you're setting yourself up for failure because no two people will have the same expectation in all areas.
Right. And that can be husband
and wife. It's crazy making.
Yeah.
Do you want, so when you're thinking of your children, how do you want your children to remember you? Do I have time for a little short story?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So back in the day, I was working. I caught a speeder. He was doing crazy things in his car, and it turned out to be a minor, a young kid, goofing off in mom and dad's cars. And my policy was, it's not your car. I called the registered owner, called the parents. Parents came down. It was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Dad gets out of the car, and he is in a rage. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm about to witness an assault. This man's about to assault his son. And I pulled him aside, and in that moment, I just thought, no, the pattern has to change. And I shared with him that my memories of my father are of a very angry man, and it impacted our relationship for his entire life, you know, until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, how do you want your son to remember you? Do you want your son to think of you as an angry man? Or do you want your son to think of you as a forgiving man who can teach you how to deal with mistakes?
That's so powerful. I just got goosebumps. That is so powerful.
His demeanor changed. The boy drove home with mom. He drove home on his own. I suspect there was a lot of thinking going on. I don't know what the outcome was. But in that one moment when I asked him to think, how do you want your son to remember you? That changed things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I think on that note, those words, is a beautiful place to close. How do we want our children to remember us? Thank you. Everything you said, I think, lands right there, doesn't it?
Yeah. And we have a choice. If we are struggling, our kids see that. And we don't have to be perfect. Parents do not have to be perfect. even embracing our imperfection openly and honestly is being a role model for our kids and breaking the pattern.
Yes.
We don't want to raise people who think they have to be perfect. Perfectionism is not a gift. Perfectionism is a curse. We don't want our children to adopt that.
Right. Absolutely. Normally I ask a little more questions here and I'm just like thinking about what you've said. So I'm imagining that our listeners are also just really processing what it is that you're saying. So listeners, if you need to listen to this a second time, like I might, this is really, really good stuff. You've hit the head on the nail on so many different topics, and it's really, really valuable for us to hear.
Good. If it helps one person in one moment in time with one experience with their child, then I've lived my purpose.
Beautiful. Thank you again for being here. And if anyone wants to contact you, where would you prefer them to contact you?
Email is great. It's chrispappius@gmail.com.
And I will put that in the show notes for anybody that can't remember the spelling, but some people are driving. So how about you spell it anyway?
Okay, sure. It's Chris Pappius, one word, chrispappius@gmail.com.
Perfect. And I will have her other contact information in the show notes, listeners, in case you also want to get a hold of her directly yourself. She is an amazing woman with an amazing story and an amazing program.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, Chris.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You're welcome. As a reminder, listeners, you can find a link to the interactive webinar on listening in the show notes. Hey, parents, I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about